It's time for your North Iowa news on KCHA for Thursday, August 21st. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. Governor Kim Reynolds has issued a disaster proclamation for Chickasaw, Winnesheek, and Winnebago counties due to severe weather and flooding that began August 17th. Chickasaw County Emergency Management Agency Director Jeff Bernatz notes that on August 17th, continuing into August 18th, Chickasaw County received heavy rainfall over a long period of time, causing flooding throughout the county. Many roads, including secondary and major thoroughfares, were forced to close due to water over the road. With creeks, rivers, and drainage systems unable to keep up, the water took the path of least resistance and caused major damage to our roads and infrastructure. City storm sewer systems were also unable to keep up, causing streets to flood and basements to fill with water. Burnett's adds, with great partnership between emergency management and the Chickasaw County engineer, they were able to produce and deliver an estimated damage assessment report, including pictures, to the state duty officer at Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management and request an emergency disaster proclamation from Governor Reynolds. The governor signed the proclamation for Chickasaw, Winnebago, and Winnesheek counties on Tuesday. It will expire September 19th unless terminated or extended. Chickasaw residents that were affected by the disaster may apply for the Iowa Individual Assistance Grant Program and/or the Disaster Case Advocacy Program. The Iowa Individual Assistance Grant Program offers up to $7,000 for households earning up to 200% of the federal poverty level. These grants cover home or car repairs, personal property replacement, and temporary housing. Applicants must submit original receipts for reimbursement of storm recovery expenses. The Disaster Case Advocacy Program supports individuals facing disaster-related hardships. Advocates help clients develop recovery plans and connect them with necessary resources. The program has no income eligibility requirements and is available for 180 days from the proclamation date. Chickasaw County secondary road crews are continuing their efforts to get rural roads back in shape following this week's flooding. County Engineer Roman Lensing addressed the County Board of Supervisors Monday morning, the onset of their issues with Mother Nature.
Pretty much all our construction projects will be on hold until the water goes down. So we did have a lot of design development work. We reseeded the bridge down towards Fredericksburg, which I'm guessing will have to be done again now that we just got six to an unknown amount inch of rain in the evening. So, but yeah, that's a pretty typical department update. We're kind of in flood mode right now.
Lensing says crews have worked almost nonstop from 6 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. every day since.
Depending on the quarries, if the quarries can stay open for us, we might work some overtime. And maybe Friday, usually they've been doing 4:10s. If we got work to do and we got guys willing and able to be in, we might still be repairing stuff Friday. I can't say when we'll have everything shaped up as if nothing happened. It's more so getting it smoothly passable at this point and then worrying about the rock and ditches and all that stuff after a little while.
Lensing estimated some 100 spots on county roads that needed attention in the wake of the flooding. The crew should make significant progress by the end of this week. Even then, he cautions motorists to be prepared for rough spots, since it could take a few more days to get all roads fully recovered. Lensing says the 511 IA app is the most up-to-date listing for road closures, but also notes that some roads may be passable but listed as closed to give crews more time to do repairs. The Iowa Utilities Commission on Wednesday held its first public commission meeting since August 2023 and heard public comment from landowners opposed to the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline. The IUC decided to resume regular public meetings shortly after Governor Kim Reynolds vetoed a bill that would have restricted the use of eminent domain for hazardous liquid pipelines. In her veto, Reynolds also called for greater transparency in the commission through increased attendance at hearings and informational meetings. Commission Chair Sarah Martz said at the top of Wednesday's meeting that input from the public, governor, and stakeholders showed there was a need to bring the public meetings back. Martz says the commission has plans to hold more of its deliberations and other meetings in a public format. While the majority of public comment focused on the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline, for which the IUC granted a conditional permit in 2024, the pipeline was only on the agenda for an update to a lawsuit. More than 100 landowners have sued the commission over its decision to grant Summit a permit. According to a staff attorney for the IUC, final briefs for all parties in the case are due later this week, and oral arguments for the case will likely be set for sometime in the fall. The Iowa Capital Dispatch reports that Mitchell County landowner Colleen Tucker told the IUC that Iowans have shown an overwhelming mandate that they do not want the project. Tucker said, quote, "I wonder how you can defend and justify the fact that Summit is given a permit to desecrate our land. We are ordinary citizens and we are here because we love our land, our state, and our country." Jess Mazur, Conservation Program Coordinator with the Iowa Chapter of the Sierra Club and an organizer with the landowners, said Summit's Phase 2 route to connect additional ethanol plants, including Valero Renewables near Charles City, Poet Bioprocessing near Shell Rock and Fairbank, and Absolute Energy near St. Ansgar, will represent an increase of more than 300 miles to the pipeline route in Iowa. Back-to-school night for Charles City Schools gets an early start today. Students and families are encouraged to meet with teachers and staff, walk student schedules, and locate lockers at Lincoln and Washington Elementary Schools, as well as the middle and high schools, today from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Superintendent Brian Burnite says it's also an opportunity for stakeholders to learn about upgrades and improvements to the high school that would come with a proposed $30 million bond referendum headed for vote in November.
High school's doing something a little different where we're going to be running up some tours every half hour, starting at 11. We're going to run building tours so the community can see, you know, what we're asking for with the bond, for consideration with the bond. So people can walk around and see some of the safety, some of the ADA concerns that we have about the building, and then especially some of the fire code issues that should be updated. You know, sometimes you're grandfathered in on some issues, but you want, you know, fire safe exit areas, you want fire safe doors, you want the walls that are fire rated. Some of those things are really important for student safety.
Aside from the back to school night event today, Burnite says parents have several other options available to get their students ready for the school year ahead, including the new school district website.
So you'll see under parents, if you're a list person, there's what you need for back to school. And so if there's items or if there's any worries that somebody might have, you can go in there and you can find for grade level, for the different schools, what you need to bring to school to have a great year. And I was an elementary principal for a little more than a decade. So, you know, walking kids to school, practicing that routine before school starts, those kind of things can help really get kids' anxiety lowered.
The first day of school is this Monday, August 25th. More news on the way on KCHA.